I'd like to invite our speaker up, Brother Michael Kelly is our speaker. He's a man that has passion for the Lord. So let's pray with him that God will use him as a general blessing for us this morning. Father God in heaven, we stood before you as your servant will present the message for us. Please, Father, prepare our hearts for the message. We shall bless in the morning with surely that you bless us again. Keep Brother Kelly there, the Spirit of God, the Spirit from your word that enrich us this morning. May all the words we say may be honored to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love.
You know, I like to come down here and be with you folks. I'll tell you one thing that I'm very grateful for, that the Holy Spirit doesn't leave the church at noon. A lot of folk leave, but the Holy Spirit is still here. And I'll tell you, to see this family presenting their talents before God, it is the stuff of what heaven is all about. Before I begin, I have to mention the things that are going on in this world today. I don't have any answers. Jesus Christ has all of the answers. I know this. Whatever you see happening, God is still in control. It may look like someone else is pulling the strings. It may look like a Saddam Hussein or a President Bush is making these decisions. But friends, I'm here to tell you, in these times, God is making the decisions. We must be on His side. Now, I'm seeing things transpire, and this horror that is going on in the Washington, D.C. area lets us know that the Spirit of God is leaving men who are not looking for it in the first place. So, this is happening, but those and this Sligo member, you know, something happens so quickly to snuff out a life, but we will not grieve as those who have no hope. One of the things that points me to the end of time was a bumper sticker that I saw as I stopped at a light, and in front of me, you know how we look at bumper stickers, and this person obviously wanted everyone to know what he believed, and his bumper sticker said, "If you can't find Jesus, look for his mother." First of all, I didn't know Jesus was lost, but most importantly, I want you to know, as we understand, Jesus is alive and Mary is yet to be resurrected. The title of the message this morning is Ain't Got Time to Die. Now, as I discovered this morning, it is based on a spiritual, and I found out that most people had never heard the spiritual before and don't know what it means. So for you to get an understanding of what this message is about, I'm going to try and get through a verse of this so that you will get the idea of the message, Ain't Got Time to Die. If I can find a key here, let me see. Lord, I keep so busy praising my Jesus. Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Ain't got time to die, cause it takes all of my time to praise my Jesus. All of my time to praise my Lord. If I don't praise Him, the rocks are gonna cry out, glory and honor, glory and honor. Ain't got time to die. Now you know what the message is all about. A preacher was preaching to the congregation concerning heaven and hell. To emphasize the difference between the two, he asked all those in the congregation who wanted to go to heaven to stand up. And of course, everybody in the congregation stood. He then asked all of those who wanted to go to hell to stand up. Well, nobody stood. And he wanted to give some dramatic impact to this, so he paused and waited a few seconds. But during that pause, a small boy rose to his feet. The astonished preacher spoke to the boy, "Surely a fine young man like you doesn't want to go to hell?" The boy answered, "Well, of course not, but I just couldn't stand the sight of you standing up there all alone." What are we here for? The question begs to be asked. So let me ask it. How many of you here are getting ready for Jesus to come? How many of you here getting ready for Jesus to come? Seems like most everyone here is getting ready for Jesus to come. I don't want to disappoint you all, but you know something? You might be preparing for the wrong event. You see, as the remnant church, our job is to prepare the rest of the world for Jesus' coming. Do you understand this? You don't have time anymore to get ready for Jesus to come. That time has passed. It's time for us to share with the world Jesus coming. And if we have to tell them about it, we'd better be ready already. You're getting ready for the wrong event. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I love that song. Ask this question. Why did Jesus come to this earth? And we find that most people believe, as Christians, Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross, to save us. But I want to ask you this question then. If the main reason Jesus Christ came was to die on the cross, then why didn't he come, work with his father, make some furniture for a few years, and then simply hang on the cross? If that's what he came for, if he came to die on the cross, why didn't he just do it? See, we have a tendency, especially as Seventh-day Adventists, to focus on results. You see, Jesus' death on the cross was a result. Now, yes, he came here. He said, "This is the reason I came." Yes, but if the devil is so clever, He's got us focusing on the result. And when you focus on the result, let me illustrate something for you. Here, got a flashlight here? Can you all see that light there? You see that light? Okay. Now I'm going to turn off the flashlight. And I'm going to ask someone to go up there and recreate that light. Do it at the wall, please. Go to the wall and recreate that light. Can you do that? Maybe someone could go up there and paint a picture of a light. You see, to get the light, you don't focus on the light that's on the wall. Well, maybe I can look at the bulb. Okay, see, that's where the light comes from. It comes from that bulb. So I'm going to focus on making the bulb give me light. Will I get light there? You see, the only reason that I get the light on the wall is because the bulb lights. The only reason the bulb lights is because of the power that's inside. You see, you're focusing on the light. That's the result. Is the light important? Of course it is. But you can't make the light at the wall. The light comes from the power. If Jesus came and he simply died on the cross, he would have been another man who died on the cross. Understand, Jesus had an objective. And to reach that objective, he had to go through a process. Now here's something I know I hadn't thought about. But see if this makes any sense to you. Without the cross, there is no salvation. But without the life Jesus lived, there's no cross. Does this make sense? Do you see? Jesus had to live a sinless life. Now, I'll tell you something. We might think that was easy. After all, Jesus had the divine power, didn't he? He was all God and he was all man. So for Jesus to live a sinless life, all he had to do was call upon that little divinity to get him through. Well, I'll tell you something, friends. If that's what happens, Christianity's a fake. How did Jesus live the sinless life? And you know something? Just like we focus on him dying on the cross, then we then focus on his sinless life. That's the light bulb part of it, you see. Well, Jesus led a sinless life. But what power did he call on? His divine power to do this? Jesus had to call on another power that was beyond himself. Now, wait a minute. You see, Jesus came down here and he had to lay down his divinity. Wow. How many of you woke up this morning, got hungry and said, I think I'll go out in the backyard and turn a few stones to bread? Any one of you tempted to do that today? Or maybe you said, oh no, this is the Sabbath. I wouldn't do that on the Sabbath. You see, Jesus Christ could not use his divinity. It was cloaked in humanity. As a matter of fact, the one time we see Jesus' divinity flash through is at Transfiguration. So we know without question that he's God. But it is not the divine part of Jesus that overcame. So what is it? Let's go I want to read the text here. Turn with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. See you all unzipping your Bible. You didn't think I was going to use the Bible today? I brought my Bible with me. I think I left it back there. But see, I have my text all written down. But if a preacher gets up here and he's not using a scripture, you need to sit him down right away. Philippians 2, starting with verse... Well, we're running short on time. I'm going to get right to the heart of this. Start with verse 4, Philippians 2, verse 4. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, some of your interpretations say attitude. I have a problem with that. We have too many attitudes around here. We need to have the mind of Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. Excuse me? What did he have to empty himself of? See, we're supposed to empty ourselves of self because we're sinners. Jesus was not a sinner. What did he empty himself of? His divinity? You see, Jesus Christ had to lay down his divinity just like we have to lay down our humanity. The difference is, Jesus' divinity was something that he could have used. Our humanity is useless. And we insist on using what's useless to get us through. Oh, we're so foolish. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. Can you imagine? The God who created everything became a slave? A servant? And not one of those 12 disciples would wash anyone's feet, because he did not want to be a slave. Do you understand what Jesus is trying to tell us? He emptied himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The whole world in his hand. Read the rest of that. I want to move on. The mind of Jesus. Let me tell you another text. You don't have to turn to it. You all know this by heart. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Now, some of your books, Bibles, will say, and keep their faith in Jesus, as if they both mean the same thing. There's a difference between having faith in Jesus and having the faith of Jesus. There's a major difference. I'm going to tell you something. You can't have one without the other. You can't have the faith of Jesus unless you have faith in Jesus. But when you have faith in Jesus, then you have faith of Jesus. That means you have the mind of Jesus. What is it? If we focus all our thoughts and energies on the fact that Jesus died for us, then we might have missed the essential ingredient of how he lived for us. Do you see? Yes, Jesus died for us. But before he could die for us, he had to live for us. That's why he didn't just come here, build a few pieces of furniture, and then jump on the cross. Jesus Christ came here to glorify his Father. How did he do that? By living a perfect, sinless life in the flesh. How did he do that? Let me read to you how he did it. I won't use my words, I'll use his. Again, you don't have to turn to this, but I have it here. It's John 7, 16 through 18. My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own. Those who speak on their own seek their own glory. You see? But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is nothing false in him. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, Jesus came here, and he said, I ain't got time to die. Remember the time, even when he was working his first miracle? My time has not yet come, he said. He had not finished glorifying the Father. He had not finished revealing to the Father, revealing to the world, the love of the Father. You see, what good would it be for him to die on the cross and no one knew what that sacrifice meant? Jesus said, I came here, but I do nothing on my own. All that I do comes from the Father. That's John 8:28. John 5:30 says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, I'm asking some questions here. How did Jesus accomplish this? He had to do it through the indwelling of his Father in himself. How did he have this connection? You know, we're supposed to be connected. Aren't we connected to God? Interesting metaphor. Lord kind of just materialized this in my mind last night as I was preparing for this message. Our connection to God is just like how we connect to the internet. We dial up. We dial up the internet when we want to get online. We dial up the internet when we want to send an email. We dial up the internet when we want to get our messages. Dial-up connection. But you know, there's another way to connect to the internet. It's called a DSL. DSL means a digital subscriber line. You know, Jesus' connection to God is a DSL. A DSL line you don't dial up. It is connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never goes down. It is always on. Even when you turn your computer off, the DSL is still connected to that internet. It's always connected. You see, when we connect, we connect to the God and we send our message and then hang up before we get an answer. what we do. The digital subscriber line is a special line. Did you know that you have to qualify for that line? And do you know the only way you can qualify for that line is you got to be close enough to the telephone company. If you are too far away, you can't connect. The only way you can connect when you're too far away is by dialing up and then hanging up. So you see, friends, if you want a DSL connection to Jesus Christ, you've got to get closer. You've got to get closer. You can't stay away and be connected. How do you get closer? What was the secret of Jesus' power that lit the bulb that lit the whole world with His love? In one word, time. You see, Jesus spent time with His Father. He spent time with Him. You see, Jesus would go around doing the works of His Father and then be so happy to get away to be alone with His Father. You know what we are? We are so happy to get away from the church so we can go about doing our own works. You see, we don't have this need to be connected all the time. That's why we use a dial-up connection. So we can hang up when we're finished. A DSL connection, you can't hang up. It's there. And Jesus gives us that opportunity because He took it Himself. You see, I go back to this process. If we focus on only Jesus dying on the cross, it all of a sudden makes it so distant. But when we focus on Jesus' relationship with His Father, it is His example that we must follow. You can't die on the cross, but you can have a relationship. The Lord is trying to tell us something, friends. Remember in the beginning I said, we're all getting ready for heaven. We all want to be saved. I want to be saved. Everyone wants to be saved. Well, do you know how we manage our idea of being saved? It's get rid of my sinful behavior. You see, I don't wear the right clothes. I don't eat the right food. I don't say the right things. I got to work on my sin. We are struggling to get right with God by fixing our sinful behavior. We are trying desperately to fight the fight of sin and win. We are attempting to generate the light on the wall by going to the wall. In the second place, the fight of sin is not our fight. Why? Because in the first place, the fight of sin belongs to Jesus. He's our source of light. And the fight of sin, which belongs to Jesus, is a battle that He's already won. Our fight is not the fight of sin. It's the fight of faith. Every time you try and fix what's wrong with you, you're going to lose. It is a losing battle. And you want to know what? The devil tells you, you got to fix this. You got to fix it. It's wrong. You got to fix it. Work hard. Go to the wall and make a light. That's what he wants you to do. And you know, you're so busy doing that. And then you know what? Do I have it all right? Will I be saved? Do I understand the details of the 2300-day prophecies? We should not make self the center and indulge anxiety and fear as to whether we shall be saved. I hear silence in the church. What is he talking about? Thank God they're not my words. Because if I said these, y'all would throw me out the church right now. We should not make self the center and indulge anxiety and fear as to whether we shall be saved. All this turns the soul away from the source of our strength. All of this makes us focus on the light on the wall, on the result, rather than on the process. Commit the keeping of your soul to God and trust in Him. Talk and think of Jesus. Let self be lost in Him. Put away all doubts. Dismiss your fears. Say with the Apostle Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now, I'm making a plug here for the DVD evangelism, and I promise you, Brother Houghton had nothing to do with this, except that he had brought it up. So it is your fault. But listen to this, friends. By the way, that last quote was Steps to Christ, page 80, if anyone wants to know. Page 81 is next. If you will go to work, ooh, work. I don't like that word. If you will go to work as Christ designs that his disciples shall and win souls for him, you will feel a need of a deeper experience with a greater knowledge in divine things and will hunger and thirst after righteousness. What causes us to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Fixing my sin? No! Working with others to show them the love of Jesus Christ. It drives you back to your Bibles. Those who thus devote themselves to unselfish effort for the good of others are most surely working out their own salvation. But this is heavy stuff here, folks. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it working on your sinful behavior. You see, folks, you have to forget your sinful behavior, because let me ask you this. If you corrected every flaw in your sinful behavior, what would that make you? Huh? A what? Yes. If you corrected every flaw in your behavior, Dan said it, it would make you a perfect sinner. That's what you would be. A perfect sinner. What can you do to fix you? You can't. You see, we have to humble ourselves. If Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, came down and became a slave, what does that make me? What am I? Is there anything lower than a slave? The wonderful thing is, it is a privilege to serve Jesus in giving His Word. It's a privilege. The DVD evangelism program is an opportunity for everyone in this congregation to share Jesus. If it's with your family, if it's with your neighbors, if it's your friends, the problem that we, all of us, most difficult thing is sharing Jesus with those in your family. Is that right? Those people who are, they don't want to hear about Jesus, especially the way we talk. Oh man, you know you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to keep the Sabbath, and you got to stop eating pork, and you got to stop drinking, you got to stop smoking. Jesus Christ, we talked about this in Sabbath school. You know something? All of those sinners that were in the world at that time, the most horrid people in all the world, giants in stature and giants of sinners. But I don't read in my Bible one condition for allowing them on that ark. If one of them came as the door was being closed and they said, "Let me in," Noah said, "Come on in." There's no condition. Jesus takes you as you are. Don't put conditions on your relatives. Why would you do that? Why are you telling them they have to do all of this? Let's bring Jesus to them. Let Jesus do the converting. And you want to know something? Before you can talk to anyone else about getting converted, you better get converted yourself. Because the hypocrisy will shine through. It never fails. I have to close. I love this because Jesus is trying to help us with evangelism. There was a quote I needed to make here. The love of Christ revealed to us. I made this mistake this morning. I'll correct it. Not us. The love of Christ revealed to me. I'm going to make this personal. Makes me a debtor to all who do not know Jesus. Does that mean that you owe something because the love of Jesus has been revealed to you? Then when do you start paying up? You see, Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But everyone who is attached to the vine will produce much fruit." Okay? Everyone who is attached to the vine will produce much fruit. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm attached to the vine. Where's my fruit? Where's my fruit? You are either attached to the vine producing fruit, or you're not. You can't be attached to the vine and produce nothing. My God says, "My word will not return to me void."
Okay, you've got the right answer so far. How long have you been married? 27 years. Now, when you first got married, can you remember back that far? You sure can. When is your anniversary? Okay. June 29? Mine is October 27. Is that right, hon? October 27. All right. So, Karen, how long before, after you were married, did you start to feel the change that he was making in your life? Oh. So the relationship your marriage relationship, are you the same person now that you were 27 years ago? Your married life has changed you. Your married life has changed you. You see, you cannot be in a marriage relationship and not change. The relationship, a husband to a wife, changes you. Now, sometimes it changes you for the better, and sometimes it changes you for the worse, but you will change. When you are in a relationship, you will change. So, friends, if we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, why is it we haven't changed? Have you thought about that? You see, our relationship with each other changes us. How can our relationship with Jesus not change me? There's only one way a relationship with Jesus doesn't change you. It's when you're not connected to the vine. How are you not connected to the vine? It's very simple. You know, we talk about all the things we can do and all the things we have to do to be holy. But there's only one thing only, that Jesus wants from you that has any value to Him in this world today, and that's your time. That's your time. When you don't give Jesus your time, you're like the dial-up connection. You know what? We have this relationship with Jesus, and then we cut it off. We claim to want to be saved, and then we file for papers of separation. We'll be separated now, and then come sunset Friday, we reconcile. We have our on-again relationship with Jesus Christ, and then at sunset, well, I changed my mind. That is not what salvation and relationship is about. Jesus Christ says, I want you all the time. Now, you can do your work 6 days a week, but while you're doing your work, you must be connected to me. Friends, the longer you are in a true Jesus-centered relationship, the greater should be your love and patience. In faith, we can say, I am not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not what I'm going to be, but I can't continue to be the me today that I would be tomorrow. I must be a different me. The only way I can do that is through Jesus Christ. He has put His stamp on us. Revelation 14:11. You know what that says? It says, we overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And what else? Come on. The word of His testimony. What does the word of His testimony mean? Witnessing for Jesus Christ. It's exactly what Ellen White says in Death to Christ. You overcome by witnessing. And the only way you can witness is by having the blood of the Lamb, is to put the dead man aside. I'm closing here. Let me just get through one thing that I think is important for us to understand. I said earlier, without the cross, there is no salvation, but without the life Jesus lived, there is no cross. Without you living the life that Jesus lived, there is no salvation. and his life was about witnessing. His life was about living. You see, we must die so that we might live. Jesus had to live so that he might die. We must come to Jesus by way of the cross. Jesus had to come to the cross by way of the Father. So, in closing, I want to talk to you about our relationship and how Jesus sees us in light of all of the things that he needs for us to do. As a result of our daily communion with Jesus Christ, we have the power of grace. Without taking the time to be with Jesus, to get close enough, to get the DSL line, there's no grace. Did I ask you what grace was? What is grace? What is grace? Grace? Huh? Come on, you all, you Adventists, you know what grace is? The unmerited favor of Jesus Christ. That's him dying on the cross. You had nothing to do with that. You just had to accept it. But the other side of grace, you see, grace is a two-sided coin. One side is the unmerited favor, that is, him dying on the cross, justification. The second side of grace is his power in you to make you change. That is sanctification. You do have to get involved in that. You see, justification is the death experience of Jesus Christ. Sanctification is the life experience of living for Jesus Christ. And you got to have them both. We have, as a result of grace, we can bring glory to the Father and the Son. Jesus Christ claimed to glorify his Father. And in doing so, he lived a perfect life, and he witnessed that. And in living a perfect life, he became eligible to die. Something, isn't it? As a result of glorifying the Father and the Son, we witness his love to this world. As a result of our witness, we bear much fruit. You cannot witness and not bear fruit, friends. Oh, you may not see it now. And for heaven's sakes, when you are with these people and doing the DVD evangelism, don't try and beat into them the doctrine and the this and the that. Your job is to plant the seed and get out of the way. Let the Holy Spirit do its work. You get involved in doing the Holy Spirit's work, you'll muck it up. As a result of bearing much fruit, we become more Christ-like in his death, gives life to our hope, so that we will be with him in the new heaven and the new earth forever. My friends, I want to call on anyone here, who would like to turn in their dial-up connection and start this day with the DSL. Now, you know something, friends? You have to renew that DSL connection every single day. You can't pay for it once and then say it's all taken care of. It is a daily experience with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not let one moment go by when the Father was not on his mind. As much as we were on the mind of Jesus Christ on the cross, the Father was on the mind of Jesus Christ as he lived. So I'm inviting anyone who would like to establish or reestablish a DSL connection, come up and stand with me. I am here saying, Lord, I need that DSL connection today. I want to be connected to you. I don't want to hang up. I don't want to hang up. If you want that connection, as you're coming up here, in your heart you have to say, Lord, I don't know how to do it. You don't have to know. You have to give Jesus the time. Daily. 80% of Seventh-day Adventists do not spend 5 minutes a day in their Bibles and prayer. Not 5 minutes a day. Lord, will you hear? Give him 5 minutes? Or maybe 10? I promise you this. If you start with 5 minutes a day reading your Bible and in prayer, you will want more. Because the more you get from him, the more he gives you. And we will have a DVD evangelism that will light up this community. Because you have devoted yourselves to Jesus Christ and let him lead in that endeavor. Dan, I'm going to ask you, would you come up here and pray for us, please? We're going to ask Dan, and he's going to pray. We know what we need, Lord. Time. Dan?
Holy Father in heaven, thank you for our brother Michael Kelly's call to us that has come directly from you. I want to thank you for your call to us. You work in so many ways to let us know that you care and that you long to spend time with us. And I just pray that again on this Sabbath morning in October 2002, that we each one would say, Lord, we respond to that call that you are sending to us, that you want to spend some time with us. And let us make that commitment to spend time with you and discover the joy.
Amen. Amen.
Discover the fulfillment. Discover all that it means. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.